Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the latest FAWcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Of course, it's presented by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter, MarkCharter.com, Mark Charter Real Estate. Hello, Mark.
You mad, bro?
No, I'm good.
You knew I was going to do that.
I'm good.
You almost punched me in the face before we started.
I did. I did. Well, I didn't almost punch you in
the
face.
Do you know why I started this FAWcast, by the way? Because what? I was told that my role was the voice of the fan.
Yep.
And you are so pissed that I'm acting like a fan.
No, I just think you're being a little bit delusional. Hello, Rob Gray.
I not only brought up the average age drastically of this group, but I, well, no.
The wisdom level has gone up.
But I've also been a calming influence, I believe.
You have.
I feel like a little bit like TJ Otzelberger on the tailgate tour. and with players and texts and Twitter. And
Mark and I were about ready to throw down before you got here.
I walked in and you thought, how can we fight?
Mark thinks that I'm like really upset with him. I'm not. Mark's a smart guy. Mm-hmm. I don't like it when Mark becomes delusional.
I don't think I was going delusional there. Yeah. I was offering my perspective on things, and you were disagreeing.
This is a question of semantics, you guys.
The grizzled, calming veteran Rob Gray. We ditched one gray, and I think we got an upgrade today.
We got an upgraded gray. We always have to have shades of gray.
So what's
on this show?
What's Adam Gray doing? You sold his house.
He's actually, I think, moving out right now. Yeah. He's
does he have your big truck?
He did book the truck. I don't know if he has it today, but I did see his name come across the email for the fact that he had booked it. So Rob, I think, has booked it for future use, I believe.
Wow.
Oh, I used it.
Oh, used it already? Yep. Used it already.
Did it have Mark's face on it?
I only got one flat tire. I didn't tell Mark about it. I had to pull over and buy a tire and put it on there, but it all worked out.
The face is on there. Yeah. It's. I feel bad for my clients.
When I walked up to it, it was just, you know, it's
huge.
A jarring kind of effect. You just kind of, whoa. There he is watching over this whole.
Did you get a selfie with the big Mark Charter face on the truck?
You know, I need to. I'm not a big selfie guy. Perhaps that points to my age a little bit. You know, you don't like to look at yourself as much as you used to.
Weren't you with me in San Antonio when I snapped the Alamo selfie, the creepy Alamo selfie?
You know what? I think you made that trip on your own.
It was it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. Night.
I might have been with you earlier.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I cashed in my chips.
Yeah.
You went to the Alamo at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That was an extremely creepy one. It had that that aura about it. You know, just a little
like
glow.
The light was down on the Alamo. Yeah, it was good.
Have you guys, by the way, either one of you been to Seattle before?
Yeah, I've been there.
I have not been there.
Okay. I'm going to Seattle, not this weekend, but next weekend.
It's a nice place.
And I'm looking for something that I need to do or need to go.
Here we go. Are you taking your wife?
I am not, actually. Oh, okay. So my buddy John Olson, who's been here.
Yeah, the golfer.
He won a U.S. Open qualifier at the Harvester.
Yep.
So the next step is another qualifier, and if he does well there, he plays in the U.S. Open. So I'm just going out with him to kind of caddy and keep him company.
You're going
to
caddy him?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'll walk with him. He likes to carry his own bag for some reason. I don't know why, but he does. And obviously, I'm not going to really give him advice, but I'm going to be his hype man. I'm going to go out there and be like, hey, that's a hell of a good putt.
You're going to be like Bieber for Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. No, I'll be Kimmel. I'll be Kimmel, dude. And for Pacquiao.
Yeah.
And you know, it'll be a little guy's trip. We got a nice little condo on the course we're going to be staying in.
Nice.
I'm going to give him back rubs probably if he's a little sore. And it'll be nice. But
okay, so here's what you got to do.
Yep.
You got to rent a car, and you got to jump – or you don't even have to – I would suggest renting a car. Rent a car, jump on the ferry, go across to the peninsula.
Yeah.
And there's – you know those, like, Twilight movies?
Yeah.
The werewolf movies, you know? That's where all of them were filmed.
Yeah.
Over there. The drive from where you get off the ferry to a little town called Port Townsend with, like, great restaurants, great great bars, and it's probably the most beautiful drive I've ever taken.
Oh, really?
In my life. Yeah, I mean, it's very rare to see ocean, mountains, forest all combined.
And you leave from Seattle. The ferry leaves from Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's some really cool bars right at the ferry stop as well. Like it's a really, but you need probably a day. I mean, I don't know how much time you're going to have, but at least like an afternoon and evening.
We have a little time, but I imagine the seafood is great out there.
Yes.
And I need a raincoat. The only thing I know about Seattle is watching football games and TV.
I think that's overblown, though. I think like the Seattle natives will tell you that that's – I mean, it does rain there a lot, but usually there's not – it's kind of like Florida. There's not just rain out days.
Well, and it's not a downpour, I don't think. I mean, I'm the guy that is not – it's no experience with Seattle. Do they do coffee roaster tours kind of like in Sonoma?
Hey, I could go to a coffee roaster.
I could go check out
the original Starbucks. That's there.
I've seen that, yeah.
It's just a little shop, right? It's not a big deal.
It's right over by like where they throw the fish and everything, that market.
The fish market.
Yeah.
Everybody says I need to check that out, too.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's okay. The whole market thing, I would walk around and do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would totally do the ferry thing. That's what my wife
That's half the reason I'm going, because part of it is I'm just going to be on a golf course with, you know, a buddy, and I'm not even playing. I'm just watching them. But the scenery. I wanted to go just to see what it looks like out there.
Didn't take the trip, I'm telling you.
I've never been to the Northwest in my life.
Seattle itself looks like a city, but if you get out just a little bit of that city, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited. That'll be cool.
How are you dealing with Fred Hoiberg Watch 2015, Mark?
Well, he's gone, man. It's gone.
Are you feeling okay, though?
I can confirm, because I heard a rumor that he stopped his garbage route. He called the garbage man and said, we're not going to need service anymore. So there you go. I didn't actually hear that. But wouldn't that be great if that was true?
And that's how the story broke.
I did Facebook his brother, who I played football with in high school. Andrew is in my grade, went to Ames High with me. And I said, hey, man, I hope your brother really stays. But if he does leave and needs to sell his house, ... And he said he would let me know. So I have no expectation that I'm going to sell Fred's house. But somebody's going to. Pretty soon, because
that'd be a nice paycheck.
He is gone. Yeah, that's a $1 million-plus home.
Beautiful place, desirable neighborhood. A lot of wildlife out there. We've been there for the selection Sundays.
Yeah, he's got the basketball court in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. I've never been, but I did the aerial footage because that's what real estate agents do. We like to see what properties are and look like. And I saw the court in the backyard. It's got the Iowa State court in there. It looks like a nice setup.
Maybe you could buy his house.
I'm living in Ankeny, my friend.
Oh, yeah, Ankeny
is where it's at.
Up.
Yeah, we're gonna build.
Oh, you haven't started yet?
We own dirt at this point. So I gotta sell my first house before I can build my second one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think you should be able to do that fairly well. I wanted to bring Rob on because Rob, you know the Dos Equis commercials, the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah.
That's Rob.
It sounded like Rob just needs some cheering up today. You see his tweet last night?
No.
He's talking about how his life's got all this worrisome stuff in it, and he just wants to come have some fun today.
Well, I'm glad that we can have some fun, Rob.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's to be associated with the Fawcast. I mean, you've got the little cartoonish caricature.
We need to get one for you.
I shudder to think of what it would look like, but yeah, we should see.
Is that Johnny who did that for us?
Johnny could put one together for me. So you guys have the snappy, you know, kind of like, I don't want to say hipster, the modern, you know, slim fit kind of tie, a little bit loose there for yours. I'd have to be wearing a hat and a t-shirt.
We look like boy banders.
The old man is the slob. You know, the group.
I'm going to hook you up. When we get it made, I'm going to hook you up, Rob, with a free Fawcast t-shirt.
Where are we at on that?
We're nowhere, but we will get somewhere quickly with it. I promise. Before our event on the 26th of June, we're going to have shirts.
I've got a meeting with the folks from the charity.
By the way, I wanted to give a shout out to the band I was talking about last week.
Yeah, are they in?
They are in. They will play for a couple hours if we need them to.
What kind of music did we find out?
Well, he asked me what your favorite was it Garth Brooks he asked me? He asked it's some country person, I don't know. But he asked me what your favorite song was. So apparently they can do a country cover for you. But I think they do covers. I got to find out.
Covers are good. Everybody knows covers.
I know. I'm pretty sure that's what they do.
I would much rather a band like that show up and play majority covers.
Yeah. The Array
is
their name.
Plus so they can do requests probably if they have a big catalog of covers that they do.
Rob, yeah. if I'd say, hey Rob, pick one cover that you're gonna hear, you're about 15 beers deep, and this is what you want. What would it be?
It would have to be something cheesy from the childhood, certainly.
Beautiful Tonight by Clapton.
Under the Boardwalk.
That's a good song.
That is a good song. But it's so good. It requires a voice that is exquisite to go with it. And I'm not so sure a whole lot of cover bands would be.
Chris and I can harmonize that, no problem.
Yeah, you guys can do it. Buck. Adam might be able to join in on that. I think I'd probably go with something. Duran Duran of the 80s.
Hungry Like a Wolf.
Maybe Hungry Like the Wolf or Rio, something like
Rob,
that.
Rob, how old are you?
46.
Okay,
and Mark,
Rio.
You're how old?
I'm 36.
Okay, so you guys are 10 years apart.
Yep.
That's
and
good math.
And you're only 22,
yep.
Correct?
22.
Now the song's in my head. On a blanket with my baby, it's where I'll be.
Who's that?
It's Under the Boardwalk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We should sing it.
No. No, I kind of thought, like, to, because we don't, I mean, unless, Mark, you want to talk about this Hoiberg stuff.
What?
Do you want to? Like, if you have.
No, you tell me there's nothing to talk about.
No, I didn't say that.
That's exactly what you say. You say there's nothing to talk about. There's no job. And you're right. There is no job.
No, there's nothing to talk
about. To a certain degree, that's semantics. So, okay, let's face facts. Fred's leaving.
Okay. I believe he's leaving. Yeah.
He's leaving. I believe it. Rob believes it. Mm-hmm. Everybody believes he's gone. Fine. Where do we go from here? What does this next basketball season look like? That's what people want to know. Because Fred's gone. Let's forget Fred.
Well, they still have really good players.
Yeah.
They have really good players. We have scholarships, blah, blah, blah. Who is our coach? Is it TJ or are we going outside?
I think TJ will be a contender.
Sure.
He should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And you should absolutely try to retain him at bare minimum.
Yes.
Because of the relationships. That's one of the reasons you brought him back in the first place.
Because he recruited basically
the recruiting of,
every one of those guys to Ames other than Monte, who was Cornell man.
Yeah. Is it safe to say, if Fred's leaving, that sucks, goodbye, but we are, the fans, I believe, have gotten used to and love our style of basketball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it safe to assume that Jamie, whether it's TJ or somebody else, is hiring a coach that will be that same type of coach?
I would hope so.
I think so, too.
Because, again, that's what the players are suited for, too, and that's what the players have taken to.
Which is one of the reasons why the Tim Floyd thing that was floated out there.
Yeah, just nonsense.
One of the many reasons that doesn't make any sense at all.
I mean, and not, you know, obviously he had some great teams, but, yeah, the scandals that have followed him from site to site, too. I mean, that's not a great thing. But, I mean, it was an obvious thing to kind of just kind of float out there for a national name and certainly respected name to float that out there. But yeah, it's probably not good to dwell on it. What fascinates me now about it is the NBA aspect of it and just how petty and nasty the whole Bulls thing is.
I know.
I mean, it is, and basically how Gar Forman and John Paxson are putting themselves at a crossroads, period. Whoever they hire, and we know what it looks like, it better succeed, and succeed immediately to the level.
Especially if you're Gar Forman, you've already hired Tim Floyd, one of your Iowa State buddies. You know what I mean?
You get a bit of a mulligan on that, though, because that was kind of I mean, it wasn't lottery type stuff, but
I'm saying,
you knew you were just going kind of going into a deep valley.
Don't blow two hires.
That was the deepest valley they've ever been in.
Don't blow two hires on Iowa State, guys. If you're Gar Forman.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we're all convinced, we know how well-respected and what a coaching talent Fred is, that he can get it done, but you don't know, unforeseen injuries. I mean, those guys are running off a guy, and let's say Thibodeau goes, you know, New Orleans, Orlando, wherever, and immediately gets that team to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's say the Bulls don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Then there you've got that stark thing right there for your fan base. Already a fair amount of fans, I wouldn't say a majority, but would rather see Thibodeau.
What is the issue with Thibodeau exactly?
He's
a hardhead.
He's crazy, man. Like, you know, like most people when they get done with their job or they can hang out with the family and watch TV or play a board game. Like Thibodeau is all basketball all the time. Like he's very gruff.
So Thibodeau is essentially Mark Jackson, because same deal. They were successful and got rid of him.
I don't see that Mark Jackson personality with Thibodeau, though. I mean, he's really, from what I understand, and I wrote about this today. I don't know if you read it, Rob, my daily Hoiberg update.
Yeah, not yet, but I was going to get to it.
From what I understand, I had multiple conversations on Wednesday with multiple people, some in Chicago, some not. And a theory being tossed around out there is that the Bulls initially hired Thibodeau thinking they could get LeBron James. LeBron James and Thibodeau are very close, had the same agent. So it sounds like, I mean, it was Thibodeau. Now, when it was a great hire at the time. You know what I mean? He was very well respected. He had, but there's a, from what I understand, there's a reason why Thibodeau had not been a head coach prior to that, is because of, you know, this personality and a lot of the things that we're seeing kind of surface at this point in time. So it kind of sounded to me like the Bulls hired him, and it was okay hire. Like, they're okay with it, but it was more like wanting to get LeBron, which ultimately didn't happen.
Yep.
So it kind of started off poorly.
It just seems like people are willing to get rid of what I'll deem successful coaches.
Wait, what is the Bulls owner thinking through all this? Like, watching your employee, like, I think it's repulsive what John Paxson and Gar Forman are doing.
Yeah.
To talk, and listen, I don't know the, all the insights, but like, to me, this is my big, and this is why I wrote this today or late last night. Like, if I'm Fred, man, like, look, just me as a human being, it's repulsive to watch what's going on within the Bulls organization. That has got to be a red flag for Fred, or at least you'd think it would be. But he's also close with Gar and those. I mean, it's a, he knows the other side, too, that I'm not privy to know.
Existing relationships, I'm sure, make you feel that, okay, they clash with this guy because everybody clashes with him.
Mm-hmm.
They have certain expectations. He's not. He's going to do it his way, not be flexible. You know, and whereas, I mean, we know for one thing that Fred is able to do is produce harmony. Generally speaking,
The whole chemistry anti Tom Thibodeau. Yeah. Like, you couldn't draw up a more opposite human being to that guy.
No, I agree.
Is it on the Iowa State front? Is it naive though? No matter who they bring in, and TJ would be easier to work with. But if it's an outside coach, for any coach that comes in. And I think this is what the fans want and think, but is this stupid to think this way? That if they bring in an outside coach that has his own way of doing things, own system, etc., that Pollard would say essentially, the job is yours, you're hired, but don't mess it up this year. Is that possible, or is that stupid thinking?
No,
meaning they know their system. This is not the time with this team, these four-year seniors, etc., to change things.
I would answer that, Mark. I think it's pretty easy. Anybody who's worth a damn as a coach isn't going to come in and try and screw with I feel like the best coaches, and this is what I think Fred's so good at, they adapt to their players and they don't try and force their style upon players that may not work. Does that make sense? I mean, I think if you hire anybody who's worth a damn, I think that they
and it can be real subtle change that screws things up. You go from the system where, hey, Naz, you're open for a three, take the three. Essentially, and if you have a coach that comes in and says, we want three passes before you do that, it can change the dynamic of the team.
It's one of the reasons I think Otzelberger deserves a really strong look, because he's a Hoiberg clone. Another guy he's insanely close to is Bobby Lutz, who taught Fred a lot.
Yep.
Is it a risk for Pollard to make that hire, though? He went the no coaching experience and worked out well.
Let me ask you this. What's riskier? Hiring a guy with no head coaching experience but has a decade where he's proven he can recruit to Iowa State, which is difficult.
Yeah.
Or hiring there's a couple names, Steve Prohme from Murray State, Bryce Drew, Valparaiso, Brad Underwood from Stephen F. Austin, guys who have had coaching experience but have never proven that they can recruit Big 12 players or to Iowa State. What's the bigger risk? And that's what Jamie's going to have to juggle.
And doesn't part of that depend on, obviously, because I've heard numerous times, Fred doesn't like recruiting, Fred doesn't do as much, he doesn't go as many places. So TJ gets the head coaching job, becomes the head coach, now he will not be recruiting as much. Does that hurt
his team? That is the preference of the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, can still recruit like crazy
if he
enjoys it.
You could bring in four old guys, you know, four or three Doc Sadlers to be on your staff if you want. Like, it just depends. Yeah. You guys talk. I got to take this call real quick.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he's bailing.
I think TJ is very low risk in a lot of ways. Because Fred will certainly go to bat for him. B, you know, you can structure whatever deal you do to hire him. I mean, it's not like you know, veteran coaches with proven head coaching track records are going to demand certain things, or their agents are going to demand certain things in terms of guaranteed years, money. But plus, you have so many built-in, advantages with the personalities meshing, presumably, with guys that he knows, very familiar with the style. very hungry
yeah.
to be, you know, head coach for the first time. And you've got a team that is built for the ultimate success. And I mean, I'm going to throw out one aside here since Chris isn't here, and I won't dwell on it. But I think last season was wildly successful, even though
they
didn't show up for UAB because. Yeah. As great as the NCAA tournament is, and it's fantastic, and it's the measurement, it's the measuring stick. All kinds of great teams stumble a game.
Yeah.
When you look at that whole body of work last year, and you know you had guys Monte Cousy, I mean Yang Wooden, mm-hmm. I mean all of these guys performing, and the second straight Big 12 tournament championship. I mean, it was a supremely successful season that had. Unfortunately, the worst kind of hiccup on the biggest possible stage, but we've seen it before when Kansas
and frankly, because of how Iowa State played this year, it wasn't shocking to see that happen.
Yeah.
You didn't want it to happen, but you're like, we've had games like this, like Texas Tech, and there were games where we didn't show up.
It was going south with Bryce there at times, and that was very evident in that game.
And it looked awful. What is your take, by the way, on, I don't believe any news has come out yet about this, but the Big 12 tournament status.
That's today.
Is coming out today. What is the prediction on what that's going to be? Because, okay, again, me speaking from the perspective of the fan, and a selfish one at that, I don't want it to leave Kansas City because I go down every year, and it's a great time, and it's a sellout, and it's a fantastic event. And previously, and I did not go, but previously it went to Dallas, and I heard, it sucked anecdotally.
Yeah.
So other than the obvious, money, why in the world would the Big 12 do it?
I think it would be – I think Dallas is out of play. I think it would be Oklahoma City. And it would be more of a back-and-forth type deal.
Yeah, that's what I remember hearing down there when we were there. I mean, this is where the media and the fan, I think, would be completely in accord. It's such a well-run event. Kansas City's an easy trip. You know, you get the atmosphere that you want to sit and describe a game, to take in a game and describe what mm-hmm. happened. Whereas, I don't know. It feels like a longer standing tradition than it is to just have it in Kansas City. That's how good it's been.
The way I look at it too, Mark, is just watch Big 12 basketball games. The Southern schools are not selling out their arenas. Mm-hmm. Iowa State, Kansas, even Kansas State.
Oklahoma was, we talked it's about this on podcasts
so
last
where,
year.
So where is this coming from? Why is this an issue? Why are they debating this?
Businesses.
Somebody has to be complaining.
Yeah, well, the Southern schools, I guarantee, are.
Even though they know in their own heads they likely won't sell at the event. It won't be nearly as popular.
See, I think it's the money that's obviously, you know,
that comes into the economy.
A great deal of corporate money in the Dallas metro area and throughout Texas, which wants to have their brand name prominently featured closer to home.
Yeah.
I think at times, and sometimes that's kind of a turf war thing.
Yeah,
that's,
unfortunately, Mark, these decisions oftentimes have nothing to do with fans.
And this sounds like another one of those which will have nothing to do with fans. I mean, it's just, you know, I won't use the word sad. It's basketball. It's not sad. But it just seems illogical
that
they would move it.
Yeah,
it's stupid. It's not broken.
Is this so? Who decides, though? Is it being voted on?
The athletic directors. Today.
Yeah.
So obviously Iowa State are all voting for it to stay here.
Yes.
Or in Kansas City.
Or it may be the commissioner's.
But if all the Southern schools are like, hey, we'd rather play it a little closer to home, then we're screwed.
Probably gonna get outnumbered, and my guess would be it's going to be Oklahoma City and Iowa State.
And Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You were thinking Hilton South, so you went Iowa State. What the
What now?
You were making the Hilton yeah. South was ringing in the back of your head there.
Yeah. All right. So I wanted to. Are we good?
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you. You always have. You want to talk about quirky things on the podcast, right?
Quirky.
Mark?
I like quirky.
Rob here is a world traveler.
Was a world traveler.
No, he. This guy. Name a country. Rob's probably been there.
Haven't been to Seattle though. How about that?
other than Seattle. So I've gotten a lot of these stories on the road throughout the years. A lot of them I openly do not remember because of the condition we were in, or at least I was.
That's when the best stories
but
are
I thought,
told.
I thought it could be fun to have like story time with Rob Gray.
Story time. So what did all this traveling come from? Why were you traveling all over the place?
I just had a yearning. I was basically I was aimless.
Yeah,
that helps.
Yeah,
you know, completely lost. I had a broadcasting and film degree, film emphasis at another institution.
Eastern Iowa University.
Eastern Iowa University. And it immediately dawned on me as I was taking these graduate level film classes, because I'd flamed out in journalism.
Yeah.
My GPA had dipped too low, so I couldn't get my journalism degree from Iowa. I almost got sophomore year. I spent so much time playing Nintendo and drinking that it almost ended my college
career. It sounds similar to me. I went through about 90% of Iowa State in journalism and did not graduate from journalism.
But, yeah. So it was dawning on me as we're doing these silent cinema breakdowns and European film history and film theory and all this stuff, that the dude wearing the beret next to me that was looking down on me because I was kind of dressed like a regular guy,
mm-hmm.
was going to be, that's the dude I was going to be around all the time, and he was going to be scoffing at me the whole time.
Yeah.
For me being myself, oddly enough. So, that's L.A., that's everything. And I said, holy crap, I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah.
So I just tried some other things and, you know, just got a regular job to a degree and managed to save up some money. This was in the era of fairly cheap travel.
Okay.
So hadn't been outside the country, so my first plan was to go and backpack in Central America for 2 months.
Nice.
Never really gone backpacking before.
So literally backpacking, meaning you have very few belongings with you,
yep.
A few change of clothes, kind of go where the wind blows.
FYI, Thibodeau's been fired.
Oh, boy.
Breaking news.
So,
dun, 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 dun.
So yeah. Away we go.
So, what? It's 11:30. So, by noon, we should know Hoiberg's gone. He's like, I'm out.
That's.
See you, boys.
Thus ends story time. I can say, though, that travel, for anybody who hasn't done it, I mean, we've had the drunken stories I have in Eastern Europe, the fun stories of, you know, a guy kind of basically floated me some money to learn how to scuba dive off the Bay Islands in Honduras. You know, you find out so much about people, the generosity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly because you're out there and you don't really have a lifeline and you've just got to get by on your wits and a little help from other people.
See,
it's kind of a microcosm of life.
I'm fascinated by this. I'm not a world traveler, but I've been places. I've been to... been to Mexico and been to Barbados and been to Canada and been various places, but certainly not a world traveler. Never been to Europe, as an example. Mm-hmm. Definitely want to go to Europe, plan to go to Europe in the next few years. Mm-hmm. Love to go to Venice, love to go to...
it's gorgeous.
Love to go to just a number of places. Ireland, you know, there's a ton of places I'd want to see. One of the things that I find interesting about travel, though, and maybe you've got a couple of these that jump to mind, are some of the differences in culture mm-hmm. that you'll see. So as an example, when I was in Mexico, I was 16 years old, and I was on a mission trip. We had gone to like build church pews or something. So went into a convenience store, which was a poor, tiny little convenience store, and got a Coke. They had a refrigerator with Coke in it.
Mm-hmm.
And took the Coke up. The guy took the bottle, opened the bottle, poured the Coke into a plastic baggie, tied it, stuck a straw in it, handed me a baggie full of Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was told they kept the bottle for the deposit, possibly, and they don't like ice in their drinks down there mm-hmm. oftentimes. But I was shocked by that. But that was just a cultural difference. Another one was where we were at, they take siestas. A lot of the businesses do shut down around 2 o'clock or whatever it is for an hour.
Yep.
Anything like that that like jumped out to you is like, man, they really do this differently over here than what you're used to.
Ooh, there were so many. I mean, especially when I was in Central America, and I was walking around some places where, I'm the only gringo in the what we would consider a zip code, maybe.
Yeah.
And guys walking around. I remember going to the Mayan ruins at Copan in Honduras, and This is mid-90s, so this is, historically speaking, less than a decade after civil wars and everything mm-hmm. are tearing through the region and a lot of politics, U.S. involved, all this stuff. And so there are some people eyeing me, kind of, these are, extremely, impoverished people in some degree.
Yeah.
But I'd come across people who would, just one day as I was walking out there, everyone's going out to work with their machetes. Everyone is fairly short. They're just, everyone's walking with machetes, and I'm walking out to see these ruins.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, you get a sense of what privilege you had, even though I was operating on a shoestring. That's what I was doing. And then a little girl gave me this little piece of obsidian glass. They have this obsidian that they really like. She just gave it to me.
Yeah.
And it was just like this kind of weird, you know, kind of weird and really cool moment that there's this little girl that doesn't have anything, is handing this to this guy, that this, you know, tall, gangly white dude walking around in this history rich and extremely poverty stricken area. That and the fact when we went to Barcelona on New Year's Eve, nobody came out on New Year's Eve until about literally midnight.
Oh, really?
The streets are deserted in Barcelona. We couldn't even get food. Huh. The only place we could get food is going into the global fast food places have gone everywhere, of course.
Is it just not a big deal there? Is
that the pizza? No, it's a huge deal. They went nuts at midnight. They went nuts.
But they don't pre-party.
One of the things they do is they throw glass stuff out at people and they run around. Yeah, they were in this big square, and it was Barcelona's an incredible place, and obviously the Cyclones. That will be one of their stops, I think, in August.
That's a whole other wrinkle to this deal.
Yeah.
This Højbjerg deal is because they actually have games coming up in August.
Madrid and everything else. So, I mean, so you see a lot of profound things when you travel, but you have to travel in certain ways, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you shelter, you know, there's a time and a place for all-inclusive.
Yeah.
That's just de-stress. Yeah. That's just de-stress. You're not
the last trip I went on was that in Guadalajara, or not Guadalajara. Where was I? I was in Cabo. Cabo San Lucas was all inclusive.
But there's a great value in that too. I mean, it's all whatever you kind of need at the time for yourself, and that's why travel was therapy. You have kids, you have responsibilities, you have other things. It kind of changes things.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was able to get back to Italy a couple of years ago, and that was fantastic.
Since you've been to so many places, what is your perception of how people around the world respond to you being American?
Because, that's a good question.
Because generally speaking, I've been treated warmly in Jamaica and Barbados and the places I've been, and probably because I have money and I'm spending it there. Mm-hmm. But is it one, I get the sense, especially when you talk to immigrants in this country, they're so thankful to be here. Is it like, oh, you're from America, like we hear that's a great place if they've never been? Or do you feel like the perception is reality from their perspective?
I think in a lot of countries, particularly ones that don't have the governments are not in, and the United States government are not, I'll just say, getting along all the time.
Yeah.
You'll find that the people there are they very much want to talk politics to you. They wonder why the United States does this, mm-hmm. this, or that. But at the same time, they also very much like Americans.
Mm-hmm.
They very much like you as people, but they have a lot of questions mm-hmm. about why is the government doing this, or why is it allowing this, or, you know, all this stuff. It kind of depends on where you are, too. I've never been to the Middle East, for instance, but I hear that people that travel to a place like Iran, which, of course, is... Yeah. Big clash for a long time, that they literally love Americans, that they talk to them all the time and say, you guys are great. And people actually travel there, but you know, of course we hate your government, love you as people.
Former Cyclone Jackson Vroman, an Iranian citizen.
Is he your own
citizen?
He plays for their national team.
I don't like that I feel this way, but I also think some of it's a little common sense. There's a part of the world, and I'll just describe it as the Middle East, frankly, that I have literally no desire to ever go to. Like, I assume there's some beautiful parts there, but I also think if you stepped in the wrong place,
you die.
You could get kidnapped and get your head cut off.
Yeah.
So, like, why would...
Especially if they know you're American.
Why would anybody want to go there? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, part of it is the danger, because, I mean, Central America still is known as a place that... I mean, I think Honduras, Guatemala, they're always up near the top in murder rate.
Yeah.
They come out.
Well,
with
not only that,
study.
But
I'm going around there on my own, so I got a bit of a thrill out of it. But the Middle East, you know, there's the religious traditions.
I mean,
the base for Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, obviously, and so people are drawn to that. I think it kind of depends on where you're at, too. I mean, heck, you could be in the wrong place in Houston. Yeah. Heck, you could be in the wrong place in Des Moines. Clarinda, for example.
I know.
There is Shenandoah, maybe.
No, in Clarinda, we do have an area of town we refer to as Gun Town.
Oh, jeez.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That reminds me of the story when I was... the story where I watched Fred Hoiberg play when I was in Guatemala. How about that one?
There you go.
I'm drinking.
Yeah, tell this story.
We'd gone to the Tikal, the ruins, which are beautiful. They shot the Star Wars scenes at the Rebel bases. They shot in the rainforest up there at Patan.
Yeah.
And Tikal is there, and it's just incredible Mayan ruins. So I'd come back to this. Antigua is the base, a beautiful colonial town right near Guatemala City, which is just a pit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't want to hang in Guatemala City. But Antigua's charming, and it's got a volcano over there. We climbed up and saw Caldera and all that. But I'm wanting to watch college basketball.
Yeah.
And they had a package at this place, and I wish I remember what it was called. I'm drinking my Gallo beer. It's the rooster beer. It's the Guatemala, I guess, Corona or Bud. And Iowa State is playing a big Monday game, and Fred Hoiberg's in it. And I don't know why I can't remember who they were playing. Mm-hmm. Peace Corps people were walking in and being really annoying.
Yeah.
Oddly, on this trip, I tried to avoid other Americans.
Yeah.
And just immerse myself in the culture. But yet here I am trying to watch Big Monday. Vital's doing it, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at this bar drinking.
Vital used to do Big Monday.
Watching them play. I don't know.
Are you bilingual?
I learned Spanish and I took some classes when I was there.
Okay.
Too. But so I'm watching this game, but they closed early.
Yeah.
So I had to leave at halftime. So that's how I tied up to Fred Hoiberg. I'm sitting in Antigua, Guatemala, and I find out I can watch Iowa State play, and I watch them play. And I can't remember. I swear they were – it probably wasn't a big – it was just a night game of some sort. I want to say they were playing Colorado.
Hopefully they won, but you never found out because they had to leave at halftime.
I never found out, and when I left the place, they said somebody had been stabbed at the bar two doors down. So I hightailed it back to my $2 hospitality.
Did you go to Machu Picchu, by the way?
Not gone to Peru. I definitely would like to do that.
I've had some friends that have gone there. It looks beautiful. Everywhere you've been, like, what's the one spot out of all of them that jumps out as, like, the most beautiful as far as just the scenery or wherever you were?
I'd say probably Belize on the Caribbean coast. They had a little local guy who was a expatriate, so a former American that more or less lived down there Key West style, and he made this conch soup, which was fantastic, and coconut milk and all this stuff. So I did that, drank their beer, Pelican, I think it's called, and had just a little room in a little cabana there, cheap as heck. Slept in a hammock, literally.
Yeah.
And you're just looking out at the sea, and they also had this very interesting group of the subcultures there that you're it's an interesting place. Also a very violent place if you're in the wrong in the wrong area, but it's also so peaceful.
Yeah.
But there have been so many scenic places up the Cilento in Italy, which is kind of south of the Amalfi Coast, mm-hmm. where everyone goes.
Yeah.
Nobody was there in May when we were there. We're finding these little passageways out to these little openings in the Tyrrhenian Sea, which is a offshoot of the Mediterranean. And that's gorgeous. I mean, it's always the natural beauty that I think of the most, but there's also the Charles Bridge in Prague, which is a very romantic place. And I had moments there. I stood there and smoked a Cuban cigar once. And it was just one of those weird moments.
With Castro.
Yeah.
Castro. Have you been to the south of France by chance?
Not the south. I've only been in Paris.
Because I've heard the south of France is gorgeous, too.
Oh, yeah. My sister studied abroad, was in Lyon, which isn't totally there, but she's been all along the Riviera and everything else.
I believe that's where Cannes is, isn't it, in the south of France?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I thought. So, Williams, where have you been? Anywhere?
Mexico.
Shenandoah.
Are you talking about outside the country?
Yeah.
Yeah, just Mexico.
Mexico.
I've been to Puerto Vallarta, and I've been to, south of Cancun.
I was trying to sell him on getting the August sponsored, and we could go and cover the cyclones in Spain.
Yeah,
God, that'd be awesome.
Somebody to,
I'm kind of in limbo right now. I'm trying to.
I'm sure somebody's going to cover it, aren't they?
I'm trying to write up a story.
Nobody went to Italy the last time they went,
really?
Though.
Oh, that's just a budget thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Iowa State won't spring for a spot on the plane right over there just for coverage. I think they would. Coverage is a good thing.
They don't care.
They don't care. We got fans.
Not in this case. They know they're going to get covered when they're here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. The thing about traveling, too, is like the little – the local things that you pick up. So, for instance, in Barbados, everyone has their own beer. You know, so in Barbados, it was Banks beer. They brewed it there. They'd been brewing it there forever. But then their thing was flying fish. Everywhere you went, any restaurant had flying fish. And they're literally the fish that jump out of the ocean and kind of soar a little ways and then back down and soar a little ways. Yep. So it does look like they're flying. But yeah, every restaurant you'd go to would be on the menu, flying fish. So everything. And I assume like Seattle, when I go there, has something that they're known for more than other species of fish up there. But no, that's one of the – I have like my brother, for instance, you know, who might listen to this later. I don't know. But I get the feeling like he just doesn't have a great desire to travel. And there's people that don't. You know, they're happy where they are. And the reality is when you travel around the world and you see other places, you realize how freaking good we have it in the United States. My sister just had a exchange student living with her for a while, and he was from South Korea. And just, you know, he loved it here because just the freedom, and we've got yards to go play in and the safety of it. And then you go back to the place like where he's from, it's apartment high rises and just city and just
high population density.
Yeah. Growing up as a child in America is vastly different than it is in a lot of places. That's for sure. But I always remember thinking when I come back and you fly over Des Moines and you're landing and you see the houses here and the cars we drive and everything, it's not a glamorous place, but we've got a very, very good here compared to many places.
There's
in the
no
world.
Doubt about that. And it opens up your eyes too. I mean, for anybody, it's best to do it when you're young.
Yeah.
Because you're as open-minded as you can be. It will change the way you look at the world, and it will change the way you look at yourself. That's the most important thing, particularly if you choose to do it a little bit off the beaten path, which is why I've done a little bit less Western Europe and more Eastern Europe, because that was fascinating to me. And it was a place where people didn't go as much. Now people are overrun. Prague is like, might as well be Paris to some degree. But you're going to learn so much about yourself and about the universality of things.
Yeah.
I mean, that people are people. I mean, it sounds corny, but you know, when you have little people that'll give you a little bit of help.
Yeah.
This Dutch guy was about 60 years old. I was running out of money. I had to, it was towards the end of my backpacking trip in Central America. They're going scuba diving.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I felt a fear of kind of like the ocean being out there. And I was like, boy, I'd really like to challenge myself in this, but I don't have the money. Dude floated me the money. It was like an extra $150. Which, you know, mid-90s, that's not something. He said, no, do it. Just wire me the money when you get back.
Yeah.
That's it. Just wire it. And I did. And all that. But, I mean, just the fact that somebody would do that. He said you would hate yourself for missing out on this.
Yeah.
For being here. So I'm going to make sure that you can do it. So you've just run into so many different things. And you see cool things. You see things that other people do that are really good, too. Like when you see a well-operated train system in Europe, it's like, wow.
Or just the cleanliness of some places around the world. Like, you know, you won't go to prison, but you might go to jail for littering in certain countries. So it's just really, really clean, or they don't, you know, maybe they don't have guns in that country. So there's just some massive differences from place to place. The scuba diving thing reminds me of when I was in Cabo, I did this swim with dolphins thing. Mm. And I don't think I'd ever swim with dolphins again because I've done it. But there's just experiences in life that you're like, just to try it. And to feel like be in the water and just have dolphins swim by and you grab their fins and they pull you is cool, because there's no other way to experience like the power of a dolphin other than having a dolphin pulling you through the water. Scuba diving is the same way. Now, scuba diving freaks me out a little bit because I am claustrophobic. And so I don't know if I love the fact that I'm underwater, and if I want to breathe, I can't do it all that well.
And what if your regulator gets ripped off? And
It's
going up too fast.
And my buddy was describing, because the regulations are less, when he was in Barbados, he went, I think it was his first time scuba diving ever. And they dunked him in a pool real quick and did like a real quick course. And then all of a sudden they're out in the ocean and they're ship diving like down into some wrecks.
Whoa.
And I said, yeah. And he's like, he was freaking out too. He didn't think he would, but I said, that's kind of heavy stuff, you know, and that would be my worst nightmare. Not only am I underwater, but now I'm in some vessel, like trying to find my way around.
That was really outlaw diving then to some degree because you need a upper level of instruction.
Yeah. So they were not following the safety standards at all. By the way, I knew this the other day, but I was reminded, do either one of you know what that SCUBA is an acronym? Do you know what it stands for?
No.
I can't remember, but yeah, I do remember it's an acronym, but I can't think of what it stands for.
It's self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Right, that's right. That's right.
Interesting. Yep.
SCUBA. So there you go. There's your next bar at the beer at the bar, Williams, for trivia.
Sorry, I just got this Thibodeau story up.
I can't imagine that you're busy right now.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the podcast. I got buddies texting me. My buddy John Olson texted me.
Blowing up.
Yeah, John Olson just texted me. Bulls just fired Tibbs. And another guy texted, said, say your goodbyes. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think
I got think a I got a really crappy story up, but at least it's on our front page.
Yeah, like so the talents of Chris Williams, we're doing the podcast and he's writing a story so at the same time.
He knew it was coming. That's why he had me come in and tell my quirky
You must have.
Here's what we're gonna do though. And Rob can attest to this. We've been all over it. We sent out an email last week. We have our whole game plan how we're gonna cover this situation. We're gonna have a thing on our front page that's constantly being updated with links.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Stansberry, our intern's going to handle that. Then Rob, we're all over it.
Yeah.
We've got Bloom working on it. Kirk Holland will give some input.
So what is the plan? Because take people behind the scenes just a little bit. So you're a media organization, Cyclone Fanatic, plus you've got radio responsibilities. So as soon as – so piece one is fallen at this point. Piece two is you hear from somebody, maybe Fred himself, that he's the next head coach of the Bulls.
No, they'll be – some intermediate stuff.
What do you do from a media perspective from here? Give people an insight of what you're looking to do.
Continue
or what you're
to wear
on.
Out the battery on my cell phone.
So who are you talking to?
Like, I'll tell you that.
Well, okay. Like,
we don't reveal our sources.
No, generalize. You can generalize. Say, like, are you talking to ADs? Are you talking to reporters in Chicago? Give people an idea because I think people actually care about this stuff.
I have been doing this for over 10 years. Rob's been doing this for how long?
Really, only about 15, 16.
So you meet people along the way.
So for the
people.
So for
I'm not going to tell you who I'm talking
to. No, and that's not my question, but you guys are used to it, okay? The rest of the people that listen to this are not. So give them some insight into how you track a story like this. Just like asking a doctor, how does he perform a surgery? What does he do first? What does he do second? People are interested in how other people do their jobs, as am I. So what are you guys looking to do at this point? What are you waiting on? Where do you go after you hear the next piece of news? And no, you don't have to give specific names.
Well, you immediately look at possibilities, you know, and we know what the main possibility has been as out there is the Bulls will rid themselves of Thibodeau and Fred Hoiberg's at the top of their list.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you operate from. In the beginning.
Yeah.
You also know that there's interviews potentially. The process doesn't usually happen like 30 minutes later. You've got a coach. So then you're trying to, you know, talk to people familiar with the situation, I guess you can say, to have more insight as to what is going on. You try to be careful as to what you are going to put your name to as floating out there, whether it be somebody's just hopped on a plane to this, or somebody's done this. Somebody's
now, when
done that.
And again, I'm not asking for names, but when you talk to people that you think might be going on, one would assume that's people that are maybe close to the team from a media perspective, maybe donors that are high level donors that seem to know things before anybody else. I mean, am I on the right track with that?
Yeah, but I mean, across the board, there's Iowa, but then like I have people I've been talking to in Chicago for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, it comes from all over the place. I don't want to get too, like, that's like the, like, number one no-no. You don't give
kind
up
of the
sources.
Holy grail, yeah.
Yeah, like, I really don't want to go there.
Reveal your sources. What does the, or where do lists generally come from? So by that, I mean, okay, here are the guys that are the top guys to replace Hoiberg if he leaves.
Well, agents have a lot to do with stuff like that.
Because you see it all the time. So suddenly there's five guys that are the top guys. Those five names are coming from somewhere. Somebody's creating that.
Some people are just making them up, frankly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people are using educated guesses.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, you're looking at who's available, who's somebody who has been a high-level coach who has taken a team to X, Y, and Z, and would they possibly be interested? You might float it and ask that question. Obviously, you know, the only thing you can do is just try to gather as much information as you can about what is going on and kind of craft a plan forward and operate, because things change. I mean, I don't think there are very few of these that happen exactly as people
as
thought
they
would
will.
From
yeah.
the beginning.
Yeah.
Now, there are some that almost completely follow the script, but there are some that go way, way off script too.
Do you guys, when it comes to sources, though, do you generally give them one miss before you rule them out as a source? Because obviously you're staking some of your reputation on what people tell you. And if they're wrong and you run with it, you look bad.
Yeah, I don't do anything off of one source anyways.
Yeah, you want to corroborate it. What you're getting from sources is background, which mm-hmm. is why many times you talk to people on background, which would be an off-the-record conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those sources that are wrong, a lot of times they're sometimes right.
Yeah.
And so you retain them as sources.
Yeah.
But that grain of salt is always there, particularly if they're almost reaching out to you to be a source. That's one thing.
Correct. Which happens all the time.
Yeah. So because people forget that sources have agendas too.
Everybody has an agenda. You can never look past
that. So when
that.
They're saying, yeah, it's looking like this because blank, one thing, and sometimes stuff is moving so fast, you can't always take that little step back. But it's like, how would this benefit this source in painting the picture this way?
The media would almost not exist without sources. But why do you think sources talk if they're uncredited and they're not getting credit for
because
a story?
Because everybody has a motive.
Yeah.
It's ego for some. It's... Some people have like an actual vested interest in what happens.
Well,
like,
and some people truly understand that the public wants to get it too, and they want to actually help facilitate that transfer of knowledge as well. But yeah, I mean, there's agendas, there's egos, like you said, but there's that too, where I think people to just say, hey, here's what I can tell you, because I know you got a job to do to try to get people the information.
So when it comes to Iowa State's next coach and them being hired, from the perspective of outside of Jamie Pollard, because Jamie Pollard obviously says this is my guy, is everything else essentially, in your opinion, just rubber stamped as far as the president of the university goes? If Pollard says, yeah, this is the guy.
Not necessarily. It just depends on the president. I don't know how Leith will do it.
Yeah.
Joe Free pretty much let Pollard make a decision. I don't know about Leith.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. He may be really integral.
He seems to be more uptight, potentially, about hiring the right guy. Versus, and maybe that's why Eustace never had a chance to come back. I don't want this guy repping the university. Well, I mean, hopefully, obviously, tomorrow's Friday. There's still a chance we could hear something quick, but I don't know. Isn't Friday in a lot of ways the best day to announce something like this?
It kind of depends. Usually when stuff comes out of, say, Washington that politicians don't want people to know about it, they put it at the end of the day Friday because it will be then consumed. It will fall under everything by the end of the news cycle, and then the news cycle pops up, and that will be an afterthought.
Yeah.
You know, like if, you know, scandal in this segment of the government, or, you know, the fighter jet's going to cost $5 billion instead of $2 billion, by the way, or, you know, those stuff that people don't
The public, you got to come out with the story, but you don't want it in the news cycle for a long time. One debate Chris and I had, and I think he's thinking more the way I was, this was last week or 2 weeks ago, we're talking about, I said that when this news happened that Fred Hoiberg would have something, a press conference, a statement, something to that effect, and Chris at that time said he didn't think he would. And then today you said you thought he might.
It's just it's not common to have a press conference on your way out, but Fred's is so different.
I said I think Fred will feel like himself that he owes an explanation to Iowa State
fan
base.
I'm curious about the timing, though, because, like, is that respectful to the Bulls, like his actual employer, then, if that were to happen? Usually they want to roll you out first.
Yeah.
I just don't see Fred pulling a Baltimore Colts moving in the middle of the night type of a thing, slinking out of town. I just don't. I think from a personal perspective, he would feel like, does he owe us? No. But I think I at least have to tell them why I did it.
Yeah, you think maybe there might be a good buy of sorts, but that doesn't have to. I mean, at some point, you have to follow the rules that are set out in front of you. And these, you know, when you're, and again, we don't know this to be the case, but it's widely believed, and we're feeling that it will be the case that Fred would accept that thing, but you also have to go by those terms too. It's one of the reasons you don't talk about anything, even if you're not that interested necessarily in job A or B. I mean, he's always played it smart on these things. He's not going to go out and say, I'm 100% this, or I'm thinking this, because then that just opens up more questions. And then people are going to interpret things that you say so many different ways based on their own frame of reference.
Yeah.
So people are going to feel this, but he said this, and they'll be poring over every word and saying, is this what this really means?
Yeah.
Is this what – it just makes no sense to talk unless you have to. But I think we all know the level of affection he has and reverence for Iowa State. It just as it's going now, you know, the rules are what the rules are, and I guess we'll see how it plays out.
And we need to get to work.
Yeah. Is there a positive spin to this, him leaving? Can you spin it?
Why would you? I mean, no, absolutely. You can't replace Fred Hoiberg. And that's the worst mistake I think anybody can get into, is trying to replace him. You've got to just – you start over, essentially, when you happen to have a really nice roster.
Yeah, yeah.
What you can do build off of the success that he's had.
You can look at the positives, and you can look at the fact of what he was able to do, you know, with the help of staff that he very skillfully assembled, is turn Iowa State into as nationally relevant a program as it's ever been.
Yeah.
And he did it in 5 years as a first-year head coach, where there were lots of people doubting. You know, there were lots of people that are probably tearing out their hair about the prospect of Fred leaving, who, when he was hired, said, oh, man, I love Fred. He's so fantastic. He's the mayor, but he's never coached before. Is he the guy we need after we haven't gone to NCAA tournaments?
Yeah.
Blank, 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 blank.
Yeah. The reality is, whoever the next coach is, nobody knows. We don't know what's going to happen, and I guess that's the exciting part.
Just don't forget about Hornacek, too. I think that's a possibility. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's a possibility.
Weren't you laughing at that one last week, Hornacek? Now it's a possibility?
I was laughing at the notion of how that was presented.
Yeah.
I always thought that it was the way that it was just kind of – that's what I was laughing at. But I have heard from a couple of sources that it's a possibility, but I don't think it's likely.
Well, tune in next week, where we'll officially be talking about the coaching vacancy at Iowa State.
Maybe you guys will have him on the podcast.
We'll get the new coach on the podcast.
It would be nice just to be able to officially know something at this point.
Yeah, that's, I think, the worst thing for fans is, just this long period of...
For everybody, it just...
Anticipation, and in some cases, obviously, dread for good reason.
Well, Chris, I feel sorry for you for the radio show later today, because with this news, you know what your calls are going to be like.
Hey, bring it on.
You know.
Do what you do. Do what I do, because I do what I'm doing it every day.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't even know. Mark, thank you. Thank you, Rob. We'll have to do story time again when there's not as much going on.
Absolutely.
That was fun.
The big story broke during...
Thanks to Rob Gray. Thanks to Mark Charter, Mark Charter Real Estate, markcharter.com, Iowa's most recommended realtor, at Iowa Real Estate on Twitter. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
And look for the big Mark Charter van.
Can't miss it.
Rob is living proof that I can sell a house.
Darn right.
He's the man.
All right.
Indeed.
So long, everybody. We'll be around a lot this weekend. Follow us on Twitter at Cyclone Fanatic. We'll keep you updated. We got like 5 people working on this. So long.